Blog Talk Radio.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. They rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I sang soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold world. One day of near Celine Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. Next to mine. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. But it's feeling good was easy, loud when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
Radio.
Because I
Good evening, this is Project U Radio, this is Lynn Alexander, and this is our special Chicago Live show. We are also webcasting live through Brian's webcam on Ustream. We are actually out here for our Red Fez Tainted Coffee radio party, and like I said, we are doing a live show tonight, and we're also, can I go ahead and give the web address for where you're streaming? Okay. Well, this is awkward. Well, you know what? It's on Facebook. What the hell are you going to do? I don't remember what the hell it is. Anyway, you know what? Go on Brian's Facebook and like, find the damn thing, because I don't know. All right, so... You know, we're getting professional into our professional mode here. At some point, Paul will be calling in. As you know, Paul and Frankie DJ Metro are our co-hosts, but they're slackers and they're not here yet. However, it's not Frankie's fault because Frankie was inadvertently delayed because of weather. And Paul is actually out there on the West Coast, and he will be joining us later on, but he will not be on our live stream, unfortunately. Okay, so if you are actually on the live stream site, you will see me actually looking at myself, which is narcissistic, first of all, but also pretty weird, because as you can see, I'm sporting the 80s hair in my Fight Club t-shirt. If you're a fan of Fight Club, you can appreciate that. And, you know, the thing that's a little bit unfair about this situation is that you'll hear Brian cackling in the background, which is nothing new. And, you know, that's the joy of live radio. We are also here with Mama Fez, who is over there with Papa Smurf, and we will get to that in a minute. And Baby Fez, yes. We're just sort of going to do this on the fly. I would like to ask Brian if he'd be interested in getting Papa Smurf over here to be our first. Could you please get the... Smurf. Is he in fact on our webcam? See, one of the issues is that, you know, not everyone has signed their legal release to participate in our show. Could you please, our cameraman, we have a cameraman, and we're going to ask him if he could please, you know, help us out here. One of the things you'll notice about Papa Smurf is that he is wearing Paul's stolen sweatshirt from Toledo. Paul made the mistake of leaving his Oakland sweatshirt in the hotel in Toledo, and Michelle has taken it for ransom. And even though he has asked for it back many, many times, as you can see, she's refusing to give it back. And we're hoping that we can taunt Paul with it by, you know, So anyway, you can also see that he is wearing his Fez hat, which is being held up by his nose, which was unfortunately violated by Brian a couple minutes ago. Are you going to talk to anybody on your live show? You don't have a plan here.
It says I'm bloody fucking connected on here, but nobody else can see it.
Nobody can see it. Well, you see, the wonderful thing about a live feed that nobody can see is that it's just being transmitted to outer space and into the ethers. I think that... you know what? We're actually finding out through Facebook that Frankie is at Midway Airport right now as we speak. So he would like a ride. We're gonna have to figure that out, because unfortunately Frankie is stuck in Chicago somewhere. We're going to need to go in and get him. You know, we might cut this short because I think the priority right now is probably to go get Frankie. I mean, I don't know how he'll feel if we're like, dude, we were like doing radio. You just kind of have to sit there. Midway. I mean, you know, fucking deal with it, you know. What are you going to do? Yes. Yes, instead of calling us on the phone.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah. He chose, instead of calling us up on the phone, Frankie has decided to post his status as being in Midway Airport. Okay, so are we, should we just not bother right now with this, and maybe we should pick up the live stream later on?
No, never did this.
All right, I might. Okay, well, this has been our, as usual, our organized radio show. All right, good night.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kentucky.
or some fucking state with a similar name.
You know, this is actually under the war category on Block Talk.
War category?
Yeah.
I know all about World War II, one, and the Civil War in Vietnam, and I'm inhaling, like...
And also cartoon rape.
Cartoon rape, yeah.
And smurf rape.
And smurf rape.
Gordon, I suddenly feel like I need to do push-ups.
You're like Patricia Takanawa. You know how she like has that wacky, you know what I'm talking
Patricia
about.
Patricia
Takanawa? Yes.
The reporter.
Yeah, I like Asian women. That
you
turns
know,
me on.
No, because you know
thank
she,
you
like,
for the compliment.
She emphasizes, like, the wrong parts of the sentence and stuff.
Yes.
This is emphasizing the wrong parts of it. Oh, you did it on purpose, motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
I feel like I did earlier.
No?
No.
I'm stepping out.
What?
It's your home turf.
What?
I'm counting on it.
It might happen, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, what we're going to do
let's make this like a real show.
Yeah, let's make it a real show. Let's take
a real show. Everyone get your shit together.
God, I don't
want to
step on it.
What do you got?
Power cords.
Go ahead. Better power cords than Smurf jizz.
Here,
yeah.
There you go.
People quit pumping Smurf.
It's like completely out of the way. There you go.
It hasn't even plugged in. It's not like
yeah,
it's not lit up.
It's because it's that one.
All right. That was lit
up. Rearranging.
So
the time
no,
I leave, everything will be...
Not called big angry.
Feng shuied.
She is so messed up right now.
What do we do
here?
What do we do here about this?
You want to tell everybody about what's going on?
Well, tomorrow, yeah, we got Happy Fucking Endings coming up, right? Can people hear me? Yeah, Happy Fucking Endings at the Vox in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A poetry reading that will, you know, involve a lot of the, you know, really important people in the small press. Such as
Andy Griffin.
Yes. Paul Coleman Roberts and Alexander. Oh God. Lindsay Domus. Frankie Metro.
It's next styrofoam orgy in small apartment.
And it feels very good. And we got I just got thrown right off my fucking floor. And we got some many other poets. As if anyone listening right now gives a damn because I'm stroking my Andy Griffith.
Yes.
But we got a good show coming up tomorrow. Actually,
should be pretty good.
Yeah, it should. 2-hour show.
Yes.
Many good poets,
including
Kenneth P. Gurney.
Yeah, Kenneth P. Gurney, Frankie Metro,
Bill Gaynor.
A lot of, you know.
Ryder Collins.
Bud Smith. Yep. It's going to be a really good poetry reading right now. Meow will be working the light. Yeah, she'll be pointing them in all the wrong directions, but we still love her.
Yeah.
And
we
all might be pointing in the wrong direction, but you know what? It's going to be a fun reading. It's going to be great, and we've been building up to this. And then the next day, what do we got, Mr. Metro, the next day, the very next day at the Harwood Center?
That would be at the Harwood Art Center. That's the Myth Lab Literary Underground co-sponsored reading series called Mothpocalypse, which will be at 5 to 7 p.m., including an open mic as well as Good Green and Lindsay Thomas playing with a spoon and styrofoam.
It's very hungry.
I make very much ejaculate spoonage in mouthage.
It makes me
nipple. Nipple very hard.
I see that.
But anyhow,
It makes fart very fluffy.
Fluffy things in mouth, very
fluffy,
nice.
Look,
fluffy things in mouth,
look,
very much
look,
like.
Is eat in mouth, and later, another time, it's like.
Yeah.
It's like
burn. Eat like flatulent butterfly. Yeah. In the meantime, we got speaking of flatulent butterflies, we got Mothpocalypse coming up here.
Also flatulent butterfly. It is a man from the UK.
We're here.
Blanching the Butterflies from the UK. It makes me very horny. It sounds like a great reading.
And also, how do we sing her here? What is her name? Something?
You're up, I guess.
I thought it was Flagellant Butterfly. That's not my
Are you Flagellant?
Yes,
you very much.
I don't really want to be Flagellant Butterfly.
Giant coffee cup in hand make you like Flagellant.
What?
We sing at a Flagellant Butterfly.
Okay.
Wow. You came to the horse store and you're looking for a bottom bunk. And I'm still a bottom bunk.
I want to leave the smoke. Bring him out here. I want.
Wait, no.
You want to make
passionate love to Papa Smurf.
No, wait, make love, you rapage.
It's wait.
I have ejaculate in hair.
On bottom bunk only.
Bottom bunk only, yeah. Otherwise it rained down like a Smurfish, like.
It's inconvenient.
A Smurfish like a rainstorm from hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I'm talking like, yeah.
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 Duh.
Duh. Duh, yeah.
I hit Papa Smurf away. So
did you put him on the bomb?
It was disturbing to the.
It was a very vile scene.
Okay.
You very much missed because you sleep.
It was like.
I missed everything.
It was like Nicolas Cage 8mm vile type scenario. It was pretty rough.
Very violent.
Yes, very violent. And I did not.
Alright, so anyhow, seriously though, let's.
Mothpocalypse,
coming up
yes.
Sunday
yes.
At the
hey,
Harvard
Art
Center.
Oh, good. I'm here from the UK. I have $20.
What do you intend to do with the $20? Get a happy fucking ending?
I got $20.
20
quid.
Quinn. Quinn. No, Quinn. Anthony. She's got.
She's American.
$20
Anthony
Quinn. I got 20 quid. Can I get a bottom book?
Can I get a bottom book with 20 Anthony Quinns?
No.
Okay.
I'll give you even more than that for less. But anyhow, we're talking about Mothpocalypse.
Yes. when is that happening again?
Oh, it's happening on Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday, November 4th.
November 4th at the Harwoods Art Center from 5 to 7 p.m.
Correct. Give or take an hour or two or something like that. Yep.
Featuring open mic, we also got Michelle McDaniel, Brian Fuge, Kenneth P. Gurney, Bill Gaynor. I believe Ellie Portman will be doing that as well, yes.
An anonymous woman, he would like a spot on the bottom bunk. Stand by.
And we will have bottom bunkies right beach. Fully explicit on stage.
Land called Honolulu. Up the mountain. Magic dragon lives by the sea. Yeah, you know what? Every time I hear a little puffy song, it makes me very happy. Here we are. On Monday night, we've been having much fun shows on much fun talkage from past stuff. And you know what? We're going to keep moving forward with it. And we're going to do something really, really, really beautiful. And you know what? We're going to read some very provocative stuff via the Anne Frank. Anne Frank, are you familiar with Anne Frank? Oh, God, yeah. Okay, well, you know, Anne Frank, she was stuck up in an attic trying to avoid the Nazis. I guess she was a little Jewish girl, and she is, like, you know, some sort of superstar and millionaire or whatnot, for writing this diary. But, you know, God, call me some sort of censored type guy and all this, but I find many of these diary-like pieces very, very, very provocative, you know? And so I'm going to find a very, very provocative toilet flush right now in honor of Anne Frank. I did that twice because I doubt she ever heard that sound very much up in the attic.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd. some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back, cause it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. And Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back, cause it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old.
Yeah, I never got the impression that Anne Frank was ever a big fan of American baseball. I also never get the impression that she heard a toilet flush in the attic while the Nazis were trying to persecute her. But at the same time, I am going to read an excerpt from her diary. I am. And I'm not ashamed, but at the same time, it's very, very provocative, very sexual, especially when she, you know, she starts every excerpt and every entry with "Dear Kitty." I mean, here we go. This is like, this should be banned from every high school or junior high, or whatever not, when you got, you know, every interest saying, "Dear Kitty, Harry visited us yesterday." I mean, okay, you get "Dear Kitty, Kitty, Harry." I mean, there we go right there. It's very, very sexual and provocative. What was this girl thinking, sitting up in that attic with no toilets flushing? Here we go. Friday the 3rd, July, 1942. Oh, this is right in the middle of World War II. Oh, my God. "Dear Kitty, Harry visited us yesterday to meet my parents. I had bought a cream cake, sweets, tea, and fancy biscuits, quite a spread, but neither Harry nor I felt like sitting stiffly side by side indefinitely. So we went for a walk, and it was already 8:10, and when he brought me home, Daddy was very cross and thought it was very wrong of me because it is dangerous for Jews to be out after 8:00. And I had to promise to be in by 10. 8 in the future. Oh, tomorrow I've been invited to his house. My girlfriend, Jopie, teases me the whole time about Harry." Okay, there we go, right there. Oh, my goodness. She's talking about other girls teasing her about Harry. Jesus, oh my. There we go. I'm quite scared. All right. Oh, God. Ever bombed Korea? What do you think Anne Frank would have thought of North Korea? I mean, North Korea, Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il, father, son, and all of their, like, really creepy, very creepy missiles. Oh, God. It's bomb Korea.
Hello? Korea every night. My engine sank into the salty sky. I didn't know if I would live or die. I bombed Korea every night. I bombed Korea every night. I bombed Korea every night. Red flowers bursting down below us. Those people didn't even know us. We didn't know if we would live or die. We didn't know if it was wrong or right. I bombed Korea every night. And so I sit here at this bar. I'm not a hero, I'm not a movie star. I've got my beer, I've got my stories to tell, but they won't tell you what it's like in hell. Red flowers bursting down below us. Those people didn't even know us. We didn't know if we would live or die. We didn't know if it was wrong or right. We didn't know if we would live or die. I bomb Korea every night.
I wonder if Anne Frank ever thought about bombing Korea. I doubt it. She just was some sort of, like, clairvoyant girl who lived in an attic. Oh, Jesus. I wonder if she ever liked poetry. I really do. I also wonder if she ever liked...
Now, you there, don't you hear me? Come.
The number you dialed is not a working number. Please check the number and dial again.
El número que marcó no está en servicio. Verifíquelo y márquelo de nuevo.
Message 3. IL01MN.
Oh my God. I was about to try to call Anne Frank in the afterworld. And I keep the fucking dial tone in a fucking busy signal. I guess Anne Frank is way too busy. Way too busy.
The number you dialed is not a working number.
It's not, apparently. Anne Frank must have deceased up in the attic. Good Lord. How did she ever manage to write some beautiful diary with all of its, like, pornographic stuff? Oh, Lord. All right. We will try again to call her. In the meantime, I'm just going to... The King of Thrones.
Hey, cut out that Chicago shit.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pet. Ain't got no cigarettes. I've a 12-hour reservation room. There's a neighbor to fill this room. A man of means by no means. King of the room. Bird box car.
No cigarettes, I've a 12-hour reservation.
Jake at the Chicago Show. Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pet. Ain't got no cigarettes. Have a 12-hour reservation room. There's a neighbor to the full bedroom. A man of means by no means. King of the room. Bird box car.
Hello.
This is Anne Frank. This is Anne Frank speaking from the dead. I would very much like to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
all right. Wait.
No,
why?
No. Shh. It's okay.
Shut up.
It's okay.
Oh,
no,
my God. Why are you on air tonight? Why are you on air tonight?
Oh, God. I'm in my attic and I'm dithering. Do you know what dithering is? That's what us little Jewish girls do when Nazis are persecuting us. What do you do when you're on the attic?
I swear to God, I am going to heave if you keep with this line of discussion. Why are you on air tonight? Who are you with?
I don't know. I'm with you right now, and I'm Anne Frank. Why are you here? Why are you talking to me?
I'm sorry.
All right, whose show are you on?
I'm here with you. That's it.
Oh, okay.
This was like a last-second improv thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Because.
Where are you at?
Where am I at? I'm in my fucking living room right now, pacing around, looking around, and
okay.
I am reading quotes from Anne Frank. Been trying to get a hold of you.
Okay, who's on with you?
You are. Only you.
You don't have a co-host this evening?
I have nothing.
Actually, we've got a hold that thought. Let me put you on hold for a second. Hold on.
Put me on what? What are you going to put me on? Up in the attic, I hope. Are you okay? Hello? Apparently, I've been put on hold. I've been put on hold by this woman from Indiana. We got a three-way online coming up, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what she has in mind. It frightens me because I just like to hang out in the attic and dither. I did it and write my pornographic diary entries. Hopefully she comes back to me real soon. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. This is scary. I'm frightened. Oh, I'm having, like, visions of swastikas. This is terrible, terrible. But my hair looks good. I keep combing it. Just like Marsha Brady. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, I don't like being put on hold. Oh, hello?
Jesus Christ. Snellman is calling in a second here.
Snellman? Who is Snellman?
Snellman.
Does he like Jewish girls?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Brian. Are you serious? I don't know. When
he
calls,
Jewish
maybe you should ask him. Maybe you should ask him.
No. Jewish girls and Snellmans. This is beautiful. Where is he? Where is the Snellman man?
Snellman is calling you. He'll be calling you any second. Actually, do you remember the number I gave Brian the other day?
Are you talking to me? I'm just a Jewish girl
yes.
in the attic who likes to dither and write diary entries.
How about we try to call the other person that we were going to call the other day?
Let's call Snellman.
Well, Snellman's supposed to be calling in.
He's supposed to be. Okay, let's hear a diesel train real quick while we wait for Snellman to call in. Diesel train, because it reminds me of when, you know, all my relatives were being taken away on the train.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Was he not aroused by the train sounds? Does he not sympathize?
I don't know.
Oh, wait. I have another caller. Let's see.
Oh.
Let's see who this is. Other caller. Other caller, you are on.
Good God, all friggin' mighty. Where the hell are we?
We're in my attic. And I'm being persecuted.
Oh, my God. No, not again. Haven't we suffered enough already?
I've already did a myself in many places. Who is this? Is this
Anne, I just sent you a number, Anne.
Alrighty, yeah. Whew, all right. Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going on here tonight, but this is just some, fun replacement show out of the fucking blue. I don't know what I'm doing, but apparently Anne Frank does, you know, and I've been, you know, as many people have seen and known me throughout the past at poetry readings, I am not a poet, but I am, you know, a medium, and I channel spirits, and Anne Frank apparently is one of the main spirits I tend to channel. You know, I use a Ouija board and everything live on stage while wearing a diaper, and, you know, boom, Anne frickin' Frank comes out. So I've had this, like, personal connection to Anne Frank. But, I think we need to revisit someone. Someone we called, a couple nights ago. And let's see what happens. Who exactly are we going to call here? You want to say her name, or?
No, go ahead and find out.
Yeah, I think I know who she is. We'll see what happens. All right. We get her creepier answering machine again? I don't know.
You may not. I guess we will find out.
Here it goes. No.
If you're talking to my voicemail, that means that I'm either working, sleeping, maybe out, maybe not. I could possibly just be ignoring you. You never know. Leave a message and find out if I call you back or not. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay. You know what, Tanya? I know your name. I know you're not sleeping. And you know what? I'm tired of you ignoring my calls. It hurts. We just need to talk. Why won't you just call it? Area code 805-856-2808. Why won't you just call us and call me back? Come on, Tanya. I know you're kind of hardcore and all that, but come on, just call back, all right? Okay, bye-bye. yeah, you think Tanya will bite?
Well, you made that so attractive.
I did, didn't I? I should have channeled Anne Frank. You think she would have responded better to Anne Frank?
Oh, that would have made it die with laughter. She would have died.
Okay, well, you know, I don't want her to die, okay? So, hey, Dr. Quinn, all right, honestly, I guess you were on the radio just, what, last night?
I was.
Yeah,
yes, Sunday night. I was back on Music Underdog. They had me help out, and...
That's the same show you were on before when I saw you, like, on the... Oh, excellent. Okay. Sorry to miss that.
Yeah,
I was busy, but...
No, it's all right. You missed... I was so slap happy. I had a very late, very bizarre night Saturday. So by 9 o'clock last night, I was very... There was singing involved with my spot on the radio.
What kind of singing? What were you singing?
It was spontaneous.
Okay.
Well, there were many things. There's that one Nickelback song.
What one?
That was
Nickelback?
Really
they have
popular.
A whole, like, which one?
Three songs. I'm not going to sing it because...
Well, which Nickelback song? I mean, which was your favorite song you were singing? Come on.
It wasn't a favorite song. It was just a song that... My ex and I, did I ever tell you this story?
No.
This was an ex, like, a zillion years ago, and it was opening day of the Cubs game, or opening day of the Cubs season, and we had gotten rained out, so we spent a lot of time imbibing, you know, frosty beverages, and At some point, we decided that we were going to go to a strip club, because I'd never been.
Okay.
So we go to the strip club, and of course he doesn't, now, for reasons I now understand, he didn't take me to the strip club that he frequented because he was fucking, you know, strippers in there.
Okay.
But he takes me to one of them by my crib, because I've got two over here next to, you know, the resort.
Uh-huh.
Or it's like across the street. So he takes me to this, you know, it looks straight out of, you know, it had the red velvet booths and the dark paneling and, you know, just something out of a mob movie. And the first stripper we see is like a linebacker looking chick.
Linebacker chick. It's kind of hot. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was built like, I mean, broad shoulders, fierce nipples, you know, total apple-shaped chick, and she's dancing to that song that was popular. This was 2001. The, you know, this is, I'm not slap happy enough to sing it. But anyway, she was dancing. She was stripping to or doing a pole dance to a Nickelback song, and that was my first impression of the strip club. And after that, it's like, okay, I can't even. How can I take this seriously?
Okay, so Well, have you ever had Have you ever had a lap dance by another chick?
No, I have not.
Wow. See,
no, I
haven't. What about you? What about you, Mr. Snellman? Come on, have you had a lap dance?
Oh, plenty of times. I was just going to say that.
You have.
I was going to say Dr. Quinn's first experience should have been, you know, given our ages, her first experience should have been to at least an Alice in Chains song. I mean, come on, Nickelback.
I agree.
Right.
I mean, if you roll her back like 5 years and give her a good Alice in Chains song, she might have actually enjoyed the experience.
Well, the second stripper danced to Closer by Nine Inch Nails, and that was a much better song to strip to.
Yeah, that's hot.
Except that she was like this strung out, you know, goth chick.
What do you have against strung-out goth chicks? I mean, I think
they're pretty damn fine.
They're finer than rank, but...
Well, be that as it may. it's interesting that was the only chick that my ex had given, you know, a dollar or two.
Okay.
And even he, though, you could see him when he walked up to give the dollar, it was like, you know, he was holding it at the very tips of his, you know... nails, and his fucking, you know, butt, you know, got sucked up into his body. I don't think that was the one that, yeah, it was quite amusing to watch.
Okay. And, okay, so it sounds to me that your first experience at the strip club was not a very positive one for you. It seems... Amusing is okay, but that doesn't translate to like a positive experience. I mean, come on. It sounds like
I didn't get my rocks off. There was nobody hot there.
I mean, how long were you with this guy?
He and I were together for a little over 6 years.
6 years, okay. And how far into the relationship did you guys attend this strip club?
That was...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
No,
oh
that
boy.
Was about 3 years in. No, that was about 3 years
in? It took you that long, huh?
he had talked about going to them all the time.
Uh-huh. And
he
so
had talked
he,
about it. So,
so he finally convinced you to, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. Let's do
you know what? It wasn't so much convincing. It you know, it's not like he had to twist my arm.
Right.
It was kind of more like bowling night, you know? It's like, you know, might as well go.
Right. It was funny because we were already loaded up on the north side of Chicago, and it just seemed like a good thing to do at the time.
Let's go to this bowling alley every Thursday freaking night, so I might as well take my own room along, you know?
He was just going to his strip club All right. Holy crap. We've got another caller here. God. It could be Tanya. It could be who knows who it is. I don't recognize the number. Tanya or whoever. All right. Well, I'm bringing up the next caller here, area code 317.
No, that's, well, it's Indiana.
My God, I think it's Walter Beck. I think it's Walter
Beck. I bet it's
Beck,
Walter.
The third. Walter Beck, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, fuckers.
Hey, shithead. Good to hear from you. Yeah, we're just kind of having a fun, generic time here tonight. Good to hear from you, man. Well, so what's the latest with you?
Well, I actually didn't plan on calling in. I got up to take a piss, and you know, I lit a cigarette. Got on Facebook. It was like, ooh, Brian's on the fucking radio. Well,
yeah,
I ain't doing jack shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, this was totally unplanned. This was completely improvised.
You know, and
Anne Frank has been the main, you know, topic for the most part. And then we somehow segued into first experiences at strip clubs. So.
Oh, well, I definitely have a story there.
Well, please share. There we go.
As far as strip clubs go. But no, as I was going to say, I wasn't even going to call anything. I just happened to look and it said, are there any asshole poets out there still awake? I was like, well, I'm awake.
Well, you know, the asshole poets, that's the ones we like. Because, you know,
okay,
So first
experience is strip club, right? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Hold on just a second. What the hell? Hold on a sec. What?
What's going on there? You playing with
a
Rubik's Cube?
No, the cat just came in the room and started mewing. Hold on, let's see what the damn cat was.
You got a pussy in your room, wandering around, moaning.
Mewing and whining.
Unattended,
yeah.
just a random pussy. There you go. Hey, when that happens, random pussies just kind of walk around.
I don't mind now. It's just,
isn't,
you know,
that an image, though? Isn't that an image you would enjoy?
Well, sure,
I mean, maybe,
you know,
maybe not for the just for the novelty. If a vagina just came strolling in, a detached vagina, wouldn't that be amusing to you?
Well, it's not that I have a problem with, you know, random pussy walking in. It's when they walk in and start whining.
Start whining? Wow.
Anyway, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
Get back to the story. Cat's fine. She just wants attention. Anyway.
Yeah, all the pussies do. But anyhow, yeah.
That's true.
let's hear about your first experience.
First experience at a strip joint. Okay. This was about, 5 years ago, I'd say. Yeah, it was 5 years ago. And anyway, I was working at camp at the time. You know, I still had my camp job.
Uh-huh.
And I was home on Saturday, night, because, you know, the kids left Saturday afternoon, and a new group would come in, or the kids left Saturday morning, a new group would come in Sunday afternoon, so you basically had 24 hours to do whatever, which for me meant, you know, going home, catching up on writing, you know, relaxing, rubbing one out, you know.
Rubbing one out, I know how that goes. I mean, yeah.
Well, when you're a counselor, it can be a bit difficult to get a fitting moment of privacy, if you get what I'm saying. Anyway, so that night I was hanging out with, who I was with. It was me, Chuck, Mike, and my brother Jeff. We were all at this joint called On the Rocks, which was a bar here in Avon until they closed down again. I mean, it's cool. They close about every 6 months. You know, they'll reopen in another month when they get new management. anyway, so we're all hanging out there, you know, having a few drinks. And, you know, it's Saturday night. Place is full of a bunch of fucking douchebags. And my brother's like, you know, because we're all thinking, well, fuck, it sucks. You know, we can't really enjoy our drinks. You know, people around here are assholes. What are we going to do? And my brother's like, well, why don't we just go to, you know, Dancers? It's just in Plainfield. You know, y'all want to go to the strip joint? Well, hell yeah. So, we go over to the strip joint, and there was a $10 cover that night, right, which my brother managed to skirt by going in and using the bathroom first. Son of a bitch. You know. So we all go in there. Me, Mike, and Chuck are sitting right next to the stage. You know, my brother's, you know, sitting at a table behind us. You know, I mean, hell, you know, he's kind of been there, done that. He's just watching us have fun.
Right.
And, you know, I'm, you know, sitting there having a beer. Because I remembered what my old man taught me about strip clubs. He said, son, if you ever go into a strip club, remember a few things. Number one, never dress like you have. He told me, number one, never dress like you have money. which is not a problem for me because I'm always piss broke.
Right.
And number two, always order bottled beer. Always order bottled beer because most strip clubs are going to water down the draft beer and they're going to water down the cocktails.
Hmm. Okay. So, all right. Well, I mean.
Anyway.
I want a little more like, wow, you know. That's all cool and everything, but I want a little more like intimate detail. Did you get a lap dance or?
Well, I'm getting to that. We just entered the place.
Okay, all right. You just entered the place. Here we go. Dun dun dun. Walter Beck just entered the strip club, and here we go.
Anyway, so like I said, you know, we're all sitting there, you know, watching the chicks. Mike's pissed off because the ATM had a $7 surcharge, and I told him when we went, I was like, dude, bring your own cash. Jag off. Anyway, you know, these chicks coming out, you know, they're strutting their shit, you know, that's cool, whatever. And then this chick comes out, you know, and she's, you know, got, you know, the black lace and the leather. She's strutting out to Rob Zombie's Demon Speeding. You know,
that would be a fine song to strip to, I gather.
You know, being not only a metalhead, but somebody who is very turned on by that sort of appearance, you know. Hey, what can
sure.
I say? I got a, you know, I got a leather pride flag hanging right above my bed, so I guess it just kind of.
There you go.
You know, she notices us, you know, kind of oogling her a little bit. You know, she comes over to us. She's like, "Hey, boys, is there anything special I can do for you?" So I said, "Hand to God," I said, "Well, what exactly would it take for you to spank me?" Right.
Oh my!
And she said, "Now, this right here is a detail that kind of makes it funny. I had on my brown leather Camp Cretenstein belt, which I just bought that week. Finally replaced the belt of the old camp I worked at. So I whip off this." Brown leather Boy Scout camp belt, hand it to her, gave her a $5 bill, and she said, "All right, honey, bend over." She proceeds to spank me with.
Dang, that's hardcore, dude.
She proceeds to spank me with this thing in front of this packed strip club, and I mean, you know, thank God it was bend over, because, you know, I mean, I was supposed to, you know what I'm saying, right? You know, I mean, I know it's a strip club. I know everybody's sporting, but, you know, it's not like you want everybody to be like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, man, control it." Okay, this is where the story gets kind of funny. You know, I was the highlight of the actual strip club evening. You know, we stayed a little bit longer until we finally ran out of singles. You know, went home and all that sort of thing. The funny part came the next day when I went back to work, and the guys were all asking me, "So, man, you know, what'd you do last night? You do anything fun?" I told them all, "Yeah, I had a stripper spank me with my camp belt here," and they were just like, "Jesus Christ, Walter."
Yeah.
And that, my friend, is the first time I was ever in a strip club. Now, I got another interesting story. I assume I'm the only one on the line here, right?
No,
you're not, but that's fine. I mean, interesting strip club stories, yes. Please elaborate, right. And, you know, I will be more than willing to elaborate on some of my first-time experiences at strip clubs.
All right, this right here is one of the only times I've ever walked out of a strip joint in disgust.
Okay.
I was living in Terre Haute time, you know, I was going to ISU. And I was having a bad night. I don't even remember what the hell was going on. And I was just having a rough night. I think I got in a fight with somebody or whatever the fuck. Anyway, my buddy Jimmy was like, "Dude, come on, you know, I got a bit of extra money, you know, let's go down to 6th Avenue," which was the local strip club, you know. He's like, "You know, come on, you know, we'll go down to 6th Ave, you know, we'll have a few beers, we'll oogle some chicks, you'll feel better." I'm like, "Yeah, okay." You know, I'm a guy, you know, pretty much any emotional problems I have can be solved with, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, and naked women. I'm simple.
Okay.
You know. Do I need therapy? Hell no. Just give me a 50 and just give me a 50 spot and turn me loose. I'll feel better. Anyway, so we go there, right? And it, you know, it's a Tuesday night, so there was like nobody there. Yeah. We go in there, you know, get a couple of bottle brews. I think they have a special on Budweiser that night. You know, which isn't my favorite beer, but as I found, it's usually the only full-flavored domestic that bars carry. And
right.
I refuse to drink light beer. I mean, no offense. I have the same feeling about light beer as I do about syphilis.
Yeah, light beer is pretty much like it's piss water. all it does is get you bloated, and it doesn't give you a buzz, you know? And, you know, that's my total feeling about beer, period. I mean, screw beer. Beer does nothing for me, but get me bloated and not buzzed and pisses me off. I prefer the hardcore stuff such as rot gut vodka, blah, 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 or, you know,
yeah,
like
but,
that.
You know, here's a stone fact of it, man. You know, the hard stuff, even the rot gut stuff, is often more expensive at a bar than a beer. And sometimes you got to drink broke.
And, you know, about the only time I ever get the impulse to drink any type of brew is when, you know, I associate it with baseball season, the opening day of baseball season. I want to have a hot dog and a beer. I mean, that's it. And then after that, it's like, no, can't do it. Don't care. It's more of a nostalgic thing.
anyway, so getting. Getting back to the story here, right? So Jimmy ran into a buddy of his from work there. So they're standing at the bar talking. And I'm sitting at the edge of the stage, you know, watching the chicks. And I mean, it's a Tuesday night. I'm not expecting, you know, their A squad to be out, right?
Right.
But this one chick comes strutting. I don't even remember what song, you know, she came out to. You know, she's grinding up against the pole. And yeah, she's a little sickly looking. I didn't really care. But I did care about it. She's grinding up against the pole, and she drops her shit, you know, she drops the bottom half, and she's got track marks all along the insides of her fucking thighs, right? Her fucking needle marks.
Like, you mean like druggy track marks, or do you mean like she doesn't wipe well?
No. I mean like she was shooting up in the back kind of track.
Okay.
Marks.
All right. There we go.
Like
okay.
Junkie track marks.
Okay. Junkie tracks. Okay.
Yeah. So I picked my beer up, put the rest of the money in my pocket, went up to the bar where Jimmy was still standing there, jawjack, and I'm like, dude, we got to go. Why? I'll tell you when we get out in the car. We get out there, and I'm like, dude, the chick had fucking needle marks all on the insides of her thighs, and he was like, dude. That is the only time I've ever walked out of a strip club in disgust.
Wow.
Of course, I guess, funny enough, I can, in a roundabout way, blame a stripper for my injury this weekend.
what kind of injury? I mean, what?
Okay. And I'm sorry I'm keeping all your other callers waiting, but, you know, I'm Walter fucking Beck.
Well, Walter fucking Beck the third. I mean, no, you know, you're not keeping anybody from anything.
Okay, My injury Saturday night caused by a stripper. For those of you who have Facebook and have the distinct pleasure, I guess, of having me on your friends list, y'all know that, you know, I'm a regular performer at Rocky Horror in Indianapolis.
Right, right. Yes, yes, you
and,
are. You are, like, yeah. You've pretty much done every goddamn character on that show, haven't you? Is there one you haven't done yet?
The only character I have never done,
uh-huh,
you know, never did a full show for, never filled in,
right,
was Frankenfurter. You know, I've done.
Are you serious? You've never done Frankenfurter?
Never done.
Okay. Your muscle's not big enough or something? I mean,
I don't know. Just never did Frankenfurter. Now, this past weekend, I played Rocky Horror, so. Once again, anybody who has me on Facebook can be treated to a series of pictures of me on Saturday night in nothing but a pair of gold lame hot pants. Which I don't know. My buddies are kind of divided on. Either they think it's the greatest thing I've ever worn in public, or they're so disturbed by it, you know, they have to wash out their eyeballs with hydrochloric acid to get it out of their memory.
Well, you know what, Walter? I know for a fact you are a Civil War reenactor. So are you going to be hanging out with us in about
Danville?
A month now down in Illinois, Danville, Illinois, where there's going to be Civil War reenactments going on, and we are going to be having a poetry, like a little impromptu poetry reading there, 100,000 poets, whatever. You know, are you going to be there? Because, you know, we would love to have you there, have you read, and, you know, and see you reenact and do your Civil War thing, man.
Well, you know, it's funny. Michelle told me about that event. It was last week. And, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, how she, you know, how we were talking about it, you know, because she was like, hey, you know, we got a thing going on in Danville. It's about a 90-minute drive from Indianapolis. You know, and I said, well, you know, I'd have to, you know, and of course, this all depends on the work schedule. You know, but I said, you know, it'd be nice. I've never performed in Danville. I've performed in Chicago a couple times, but, you know, never in Danville. And she said, well, you know, well, we're going to be there at the park. And, oh, by the way, that's the same weekend that they're doing the Civil War thing. I said, no shit, because my unit normally does that event. You know,
haven't heard from your unit? Your unit's not going to be there?
Okay.
I mean, your unit,
well,
or, I mean, like, you know, the Civil War guys you reenact with.
Well, you know, truth be told, right now, I don't, you know, I've been kind of, you know, the reenacting unit I'm in right now is having a lot of internal conflict, so
wow.
We don't know what
okay.
the schedule is right now, because...
Civil War within
a
Civil War. Okay.
Pretty much, you know, and I can say this because, A, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I know he's not going to be awake. B, I know he doesn't listen to the show, but our new captain is an asshole.
Really? Okay. How so?
Okay, let me see if I can explain it this way. You've seen Office Space, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Imagine Bill Lumbergh as a Confederate officer.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, awful. Okay, that's,
merciless,
yeah. Okay, that's bad.
Merciless micromanager.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, we'd love to have you there. And, you know, fucking, if you know, just come down and hang out with us and get drunk and read poetry while dressed in your, you know, Confederate... fucking reenactment uniform if you aren't, like, actually there with your unit. Your unit. So,
well,
honestly, all right, hey, you know, we have another caller here. Bring this caller on and see what they have to share with us. Alrighty.
I was going to finish my story, but you know, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, this person's been on hold for a while. Hello, Constantine for Abilene. You are on. Hello, Constantine for Abilene. Are you there?
Well, rumor has it that I am. How are you guys tonight?
We're wonderful, Constantine. Glad to have you on.
Yeah,
well,
just kind of curious.
Sure
what's the deal with your what's the premise of your show? I've never heard you before.
The premise of this show is just
because obviously you're telling funny stories. I mean, and I certainly enjoy
it. Well, yeah, you know, this was very, very much a spontaneous kind of fun show. But you know, usually some of the shows we do are completely about, you know, regarding, like, poetry and rappers and singers, etc. But, you know, hey, you've called in.
you're on hold and you're having fun, just, hey, share with us. What's your, you know, what prompted you to call in, Constantine?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, judging from my voice, but actually, I'm a voice actor, and my real true passion is spoken word poetry, and I am a published poet, and I just love it. You know, it's a pretty cool thing, and also,
where are you from?
Another one of my passions is where am I from? My people call it Earth, the smaller part.
Your people call it Earth. Wonderful.
You should have been more specific. You blew it. But you know what I'm saying is the fact that
Jesus Christ,
I have an attention deficit disorder,
I
and I don't remember what the fact was. So back
there's
to
no fact. Okay. No.
Ask me another question.
No, just
animal
I mean, okay,
animal amusement amazes you more.
I mean, I already like the sound of your voice. It's very soothing, and it makes me feel very calm and good.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you a poet? I mean, or do you have, like, something profound you want to share with us? Something like...
Hmm.
Oh, I don't know. Hitler or Gandhi or even Anne Frank might, really feel good about or.
Sure, I do all kinds of pieces. What kind of pieces do you use to get you guys usually like? Because I used to have a show where I cold read anything somebody would give me.
Just read whatever and be yourself and be beautiful.
Read whatever and be myself. And be beautiful.
Your voice, I mean, it doesn't matter what you read. I mean, just given the soothing sound of your voice, you're like Billy Dee Williams, a.k.a. Lando Calrissian, like tenfold. So,
really?
Go at it, man.
I mean, that's not one I've ever gotten before. I right? Yes, I betrayed Han Solo and the rest of those guys. Wait a minute, they're not actually real. No wonder why. Yeah, have you ever wondered what it would be like to be Carrie Fisher and be walking through the mall and all of a sudden somebody says, Princess Leia? And of course she goes, oh, yes. Can I help you?
Yeah. But which Princess Leia would you want to be? The one with the little buns on the side of her head? Or the hot Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi who, like, really worked out and was all looking all sexy? But, yeah. Yeah, but...
Oh, come
all
on.
Right, man. No, come on.
Was that a serious question? And are you heterosexual? I mean, well, I'm just kind of curious, are you? probably the second one. But, you know, I mean, I'm not even going to bullshit the second one. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is I really, I got really distracted just thinking about that costume. Man, you know, you just screwed me up now, man. I don't know if I'm really on a roll or not, but, you know, I mean, it's like, this little voice inside me goes, noing. It's like, oh, yes. I mean, of course, you know, back in those days, you know, I was like, you know, I mean, you know, when you're 14 years old, you know, you can, it's not quality, but it certainly is quantity. You know, you can orgasm about 25 times in a day. You know, I'm only down to like, you know, unfortunately, you know, it upsets my better half. I'm only down to like about 17 and. I feel guilty. You know? And as fellow poets, of course, as a poet, you know, we're all huge, mega, giganto studs. And I was just wondering if you could give me some advice before I spit a piece.
Advice?
No advice? Oh, wow.
Well, hey, you know, I don't.
Yeah, this is the thing. I'm not playing. By the way, just in case you're wondering, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, this is not Johnny Carson, whom we are not playing Stump the Band. The hosts were actually supposed to answer that question. So back to you guys. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm already so infatuated just with the sound of your goddamn voice. Just read us something. Just find a macaroni and cheese box or a cereal box and read the. Fucking contents or, you know, the directions on how to cook it. And I think we will be more beyond
I'm beyond infatuated and happy to hear it. I mean, you are Billy D. Williams. I mean, just got it.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Okay. So I'll read some. This piece is called Massacre. And just kind of my when I do shows sometimes I pause. I did like Shakespearean theater back in the day, and I got used to soliloquy and I'd pause, and people would break in. It's like, no, I'm not done. So when I've started, I say, wait, in.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, when I'm done, I say fade out, you know.
Fade out. No. Here is what I usually require when somebody reads a poem or something like that. It's like you have to say end fucking poem. Okay.
I'll say that after fade out. Then. How about that?
Okay. All right. Whatever you're comfortable with, man. I mean, yeah, you're like you are the Lando Calrissian. So yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, this is called Massacre, and I wrote this.
Okay.
Amen. Forever shall I recall the day my spirit fell within this broad-hearted soul. And it skipped a beat when I heard the tale of the massacre, of the killing fields upon the messenger driven by a black wind, of deeds that should have never have been. For some expressed confusion, but I knew exactly what to do.
Find out if Sally Struthers is dead or alive.
Exactly. Some say things.
Hey, Homeland Security, you dipshit. Don't go making facts out of your opinion. I think Michael Jackson's music is stupid, bland, and holds no meaning. Danzig's music's amazing and powerful.
Really?
I'm a girl, and I'm
really,
glad Danzig...
It's really overrated.
No, I'm a girl, and I'm glad Danzig wears no shirt, so shut the fuck up.
All power to the Jackson 5.
Well,
Danzig customized, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. Tell me.
He sucks dick at guitar.
Well, that's what
he wears black pants and no shirt around his own house.
And how do you know this?
I wish Glenn would stop breathing heavily into the mic, please.
Glenn, I love the
God.
Way Glenn. Into the mic. Please do not stop. back to you, sir.
Yeah, he was searching online. There was no blood.
How do you know? What? But there were Crips? Was this South Central Los Angeles?
No, the Brazilian Owl Center uses fax number to find out. You can find out if Sally Struthers is dead or alive. And Sally Struthers, she moved into a new house, and she invoked the spirit of Cass Elliot to see, like... I just saw on CNN that Sally Struthers died.
Really?
Yeah. And she and her crew were attacked by a gang of starving children. They were killed and eaten. She was
she was hot. I know.
Sally
I know.
Sally Struthers. Sally Struthers died. Okay. She is a trial set for September. They thought she was guilty of a quadruple homicide in Kansas City. Could you imagine? Somebody had to be intimate with her. Somebody had to put their penis near her. could you imagine seeing her naked?
It so many times. Oh my God.
Well, you know, my first encounter with Sally Struthers was on All in the Family. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what she
fucking
does.
Fucking meathead took her for granted. Oh, God,
Sally Struthers died at her home in New York City. Sally Struthers hung herself in her cell Sunday in Ohio's death row. prison official said.
Yeah. God damn. You know.
I would have never expected Sally Struthers to be well hung.
Oh, evidently, yeah. She and her unit were in Ohio. My unit, when I was on the Civil War,
You were on the Civil War, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She, a lot of the crew at that time died. They put up a very valiant fight to kill Sally Struthers.
Mm-hmm.
I
think he's actually within the War of States of inebriation.
Yeah. Right. She flew Patsy Cline's plane into the ground. Oh God.
Maybe Buddy Holly's too.
No. Drunk flying is an
drunk
actual.
Drunk flying. Okay.
I feel very confused and lost. I feel her birthday is July 28th, 1948. Her hometown is Portland, Oregon. I know that much. I just feel like an asshole.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all need to take a quick Puff the Magic Dragon break. Or maybe just, you know what? No, just a
I
quick
like
diesel train break.
Puff
here we go.
The Magic Dragon.
No, just a quick
Puff
diesel train.
The
oh,
magic
here we go.
Dragon
here we go.
By the I wish Glenn was.
Oh, Jesus, wow. That's, yeah, wow. That's one noisy, like, you know,
sound-like so
sort of train going straight through a tunnel.
From everyone else.
It reminds me of my childhood fantasies of Sally Struthers.
He just does what he wants.
Right, because I've got my friend, but that's all right. Back to you.
After the train had come through town,
mm-hmm.
I was 19 and I was masturbating to the first time I had heard Guar, actually.
Guar, really?
On cassette tape, and I said, well, this is something for me, finally. And I attended voiceover school right after the Civil War got out, and I became a voice actor.
Kind of like Morgan Freeman, I mean.
No, like Constantine.
Well, I never attended this school. I'm just naturally talented.
Well, see, Constantine is like the, you know, the Morgan Freeman. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's got
yes.
that voice. Yeah.
I get accused of being Morgan Freeman all the time.
Shit.
Never saw the brothers, though. Although I do hear she's well hung. So.
You ever been to the, Constantine, have you ever actually been to the Brazilian Owl Center?
Can't say that I have. Who? No.
Have you ever thought of like, Brian?
Hello.
No, I don't really think of Brian very much. No.
No, I think a lot of people do think about me more than they like to
admit. Yeah. I could put myself in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. So
I'm going right now. I'm going through a really bad breakup.
Oh, really? That's sorry to hear that. Yeah, how's that going?
Yeah.
I mean, whoa, wow.
It's not going good right now because
uh-huh.
it's a really bad breakup. I hate my dumb ass, bitch ass, cunt sucking ass husband. He's pretty much. The scum of the earth.
Yeah.
He thinks he can get away with treating me like shit. Yeah, he's a fucking waste. You know, I gave this dumb asshole a child, okay?
Did you think really?
Do you think this fucker even lifts a hand with our kid, you know? All he fucking does is sit outside all day and drink and smoke and, you know, act like an all-around dick. Like you were the gentleman, the Civil War guy said earlier, you know, how would you like Bill Lumberg as your captain of your unit, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess not. I mean, he'd be always like, that would not be good. Not one bit.
Yeah, so I'm going through that right now, and it really sucks. And, you know, I'll fucking, you know, if you're listening out there, your ass has no job. All you fucking do is sit around and collect unemployment. But you're bitch ass, you can't even clean the fucking house. You feel like you have all the right to bitch about me. Motherfucker, I am a great wife. I'm a wonderful fucking mom. You're out there listening. You want to bitch to me a little shit? Well, go fuck off, you dumbass son of a bitch. I'm tired of dealing with all your shit. You're worse than the scum of the fucking hell. You're worse than roaches. But shit, yeah, that's probably an insult, you know, to roaches or something, you know.
It is. I mean,
why the fuck can't, you know, why can't, like, the Zodiac Killer ever come after my husband, you know? Why do they, you know, they always have to, you know.
Oh, Jesus, that's
hurt
horrible.
People like
that's
teenagers
horrible.
Making out in the park. Or, you know, why can't they come after this piece of shit, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought I was all in for gay marriage until this shit, you know. I thought, well, I'm going to give it a try. I give this man my child. Then what the fuck, you know. Now I'm the one left with a kid, and,
Yeah, what do you do with the kid? I mean, how's that going?
It's not going good. I just told you that.
Okay.
I just
wow.
told you it's not going good due to the fact, you know, now I'm a single mother. And
and do you still breastfeed?
Well, no, I'm not lactating very good. I was never a really
no?
good breastfeeder because I have, like... I have, I'm receiving hormone shots really to
uh-huh.
develop my breasts still, and I think I'm still like in this stage where the lactational devices inside of my man breasts are not fully developed, I think. I think a
wow.
series of hormone shots will continue, at which time I'll gladly take my son, who is now 9, and I will introduce him to... breast milk, which has, you know.
Okay.
And, do you know that Sally Struther, her middle name is Anne?
No.
Her dad
I was not
was,
aware
was,
of that.
She's from Portland, Oregon, and her dad is a doctor. Well, was a, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but her dad was a doctor, and you know, she just had this dream of making it. You know, she fucking like, left home right after high school, and she
right.
said, "You know, I'm determined, Dad. You know, I'm not going to college. I'm determined to become a star. You know, and the rest is history, really. Could you imagine, like, if she would have just stayed home and, I don't know, became a teacher or something? You know, I mean,
oh, that would have sucked.
Imagine
I mean,
how
the
world, yeah. Just think,
yeah,
who else
exactly.
would have played Gloria Stivic? Think about that. I mean, who the hell would they, you know?" What would have happened, you know, to you
well,
know, American
a
pop
lot
culture.
Of us would have been really lost. And, you know, a lot of, like, starving
yeah.
African children would have been lost
yeah.
without Sally Struthers' fat ass being
sure,
there.
Sure.
Yeah, so hey, you know, we got another caller here coming in. another caller from, I think, Tejas or Texas. Maybe he can elaborate on his opinion of Sally Struthers or, you know...
Oh.
And we'll see here. And Constantine, for this upcoming caller, just give me a little sound of your voice, because you sound like Lando Calrissian. Come on, just say something sexy.
And here's the next caller, and he will or she will blow you away.
Wow. Ow! All right, so here we go. We got a caller from Texas.
Mr. Collin from Texas.
Hello.
Hello. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How's it going for you, Mr. Texas Collin?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? Can you give us
that
Texas accent, mother?
Oh, I'm a transplant. I'm from Cleveland.
Well, damn,
the only time I draw is when I've been drinking too much.
Oh, hell, man. You sound like you were born so far away from the city of the sunsets in between. Don't be telling us that bullshit. Hell, man, you'd be more trouble than a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. I ain't believing that shit. Man.
Do you know ZZ Top?
He's pretty cool, man. I met him because, you know, I was like a guest star on the King of the Hill. So, you know.
Yeah. I like that song, Grange, that they have.
Is that a song or is that an album?
I don't like
it. It's possibly a title track off. It could be like the title track of an album, you know.
Yeah, it's where it goes, how, 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 how.
Yeah.
They cycle Sharp Dressed Man like every day here in Austin. It's like, Christ, how many times do I have to hear that fucking song?
That's a beautiful song, my friend. If I had it my way, it would be the new national anthem. At every baseball game and sporting event and graduation and baptism.
So, Mr. Texas Caller. You know, beyond Sally Struthers, what's your feelings on Anne Frank? Anne Frank, are you aware of or familiar with Anne Frank?
How do we go from Sally Struthers to Anne Frank?
They're the same person,
Anne Frank,
my friend.
They're both actually the same person.
They kind of are to a certain degree. Anne Frank, you know, is the little Jewish gal, you know, who was trapped in an attic. And she wrote a diary, apparently. And a lot of people think her diary is sort of pornographic to a certain degree. And it's being banned in a lot of places. What's your opinion on that? Are you familiar with her?
I actually haven't read Anne Frank's diary.
Okay. Well,
I dropped out of high school before they made me read it. So
okay.
I was coming up
wow.
on the reading list. I'm like, fuck it, I'm out of here.
I'm going to tell you the truth
okay.
of that story about Anne Frank is the fact that she did not write that diary. That diary was written by her father in the 1950s, man. I have done electoral analysis of the handwriting, the ink, and the mechanical instrument used to write in these diaries. I've done carbon dating on the paper. I have done, I know for a scientific fact that she actually did not write the diary.
Maybe it was Sally Struthers.
I believe it was. I believe Gloria Stivick had a hand in the pornographic diary of a teen, preteen Jewish girl in Nazi Germany.
Yeah. What are they saying is pornographic about it?
Well, she was had a fondness for Luftwaffe members, if you will, units of Wehrmacht units only, and and her unit leader, we're just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah,
you're just saying
she had
that
a...
'cause I said I haven't read it, and I don't know if you're right or wrong.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Well, there you go.
You better go down to the Austin Public Library right now and get yourself a copy of the Diary of Anne Frank. You thumb through it, my friend, and determine with yourself if it's not pornographic.
It's all porn if it's written by a chick.
Well, I can read you a quick excerpt from Anne Frank if you want, Mr. Texas Caller.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Almost every entry starts with, okay, get this, Dear Kitty, okay? You know, their kitty. Kitty is not. Is that not a euphemism for pussy? But
right.
So here we go. Just a random page here. Saturday, 11 July, 1942. Dear Kitty, Daddy, Mummy, and Margot, can't get used to the sound of the Western clock yet, which tells us the time every quarter of an hour. I loved it from the start, especially in the night. It's like a faithful friend. I expect you will be interested to hear what it feels like to disappear. Well, all I can say is that I don't know myself yet. I don't think I shall ever feel really at home in this house. But that does not mean I loathe it here. It is so fun being in this fucking attic while dithering to the sound of marching.
I think fruit. You're making that last part up.
I'm not
it's
making
not
it up. It's all true.
If I recall correctly, never having read the book, it is more like being on vacation in a very peculiar boarding house.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, that is an interesting, very interesting perspective. And for someone who has never read the book, well, there you go. Wow.
Well, I listened to it on tape once, and I have photographic memory, so.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you do.
The previous statements are true, only the facts were changed.
I opened one time to that one particular page, and that's the only page I ever read. And I said, well, this book sucks, and I put it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. All right. Well, wow.
I like the illustrated version myself, but I also have a fetish. So.
Oh, the illustrated version. See that? Wow.
Did you know that? Did you know that Shakespeare had a fetish? He even wrote about it. Have you ever heard it?
What was his fetish?
Well,
please elaborate.
It's very short. Friends,
okay.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears, for I have a fetish for them. Back to the
Really?
I don't really understand that.
I've never been in here, man.
He liked Italian guys?
He liked ears.
Oh.
I didn't get that out of that. I don't know.
That was just allegorical, purely for entertainment. Kids, don't try to stay repeating that at home.
That would be very dangerous. I agree, Lando Calrissian. Do not repeat that or try that at home. Kind of like, you know, the precursor to Jackass. You know, an episode of Jackass.
Yeah, I'll be happy when they ban Shakespeare. Nothing damaged my mind more and, you know, my poetic aspirations than reading fucking Shakespeare in the ninth grade.
Ninth grade, huh? It took you up to the ninth grade to read your first Shakespeare or have your first Shakespeare, like, negative experience?
They assigned it. And I was like, all right, I'll read it, but I want to read Bret Easton Ellis for my book report. And then my teacher said, that's not literature. And I said, fuck you, I'll read whatever I want.
Well.
So you got the clip notes instead?
Well, classes are the same everywhere. If you listen long enough, you can pass the test. You don't actually have to do any of the reading.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, I got a whole fucking degree in literature, and I didn't read anything. I just faked it. I can't even, write, a full sentence, and I just learned how to
Well, you're
fake
ahead
it.
Of the game of a lot of fucking BAs in English. Not to be too bitter or
the
nothing,
real
but...
The secret to passing any literature class is don't worry about punctuation or anything like that. Just use alliteration. It sounds cool. It can be nonsensical. Nobody knows because, you know, anything that you say, poetry is. So,
right.
That's my
alliteration point. Is the true solution to pretty much every, you know, poetic endeavor. I agree 100%.
Yeah, hey, it's worked for Jesse Jackson for years.
All right, guys. Well, you know, wow, this has been a fun show. We're up to, we got about 4 minutes left here. How about we take a quick music break and wrap this up. And this has been very fun and weird and different. And you know, where am I? Where am I from? We're going to take a quick music break here. And what are we going to do? We are going to do Take Me Out to the Puff the Magic Dragon.
The Magic Dragon will by the sea. The buffalo,
the magic dragon, live by the sea, and frolic in the autumn mist in a little honey. Little Jackie,
jumping everywhere,
and brought him swings and healing wax, and other fancy stuff. Oh, up the magic dragon.
Live by the sea,
and frolic in the autumn mist, in a land called Hunter on his knees. Up the magic dragon, live by the sea, and frolic in the autumn mist, in a land called Hunter. Together they will go to his very name.
Lando Calrissian, you, goddamn, beautiful. Your voice, beautiful. And your input, beautiful. And everybody else who has been a part of this show, beautiful. So, and it's about to chime out here, and I just want to thank you all.
Well, thank you. I love you, too. I just love a man with little muscles.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And, you know, Texas boy, thank you so much, man.
Open up your chat field next time. Anyway.
Yeehaw. Next time, play the Hank Free version of Puff.
Yeah, I will. Oh, listen. People are trying to chirp me with extra Puffy the Magic Dragon stuff. Yeah, we're going to just, we're going to fade out here with, you know, a toilet flush. Good night, everybody.
I feel so dirty now.
Me too. I'm still here.
It's that awkward
brown chicken, brown
after
cow.
The moment of greatness.
Brown chicken, brown cow. Shit's still kind of going on. It's kind of like, you know, the after show. It's even hotter. Brown chicken, brown cow. Good night, everybody.